And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. It is your local sports fix, and we're taking you until 6. Wow. We've got a lot to talk about here on the program today. Something slipped my mind. What was it that I wanted to say? Oh, yeah. Indiana, national champions in football. It's incredible. It is incredible. I know we've been talking about this team all year. I know that we saw this team, at least I did, on this program as a national champion contender going into this season, as national champion favorite going into the college football playoff, and of course going into last night as they take down Miami 27-21. But I don't think that any of us really were going to believe it until it happened. And it has happened. Now, IU never trailed last night in the national title game as heard on WREF. But it was close the entire time. We're going to break down the game in depth. But first, I just have to say that this is so cool for me. For me, as someone who is not from Indiana originally, but I've lived here for a few years. I've been doing this show for a few years. I've been talking about this team for the entire season. I remember when Cignetti was hired and we aired basically the entire press conference on this program. And I got a lot of flack for it. People saying, well, I mean, this James Madison guy, why is he taking up almost your entire show? This James Madison guy, Cignetti, why bother with him? He's just going to go 3 wins next year and miss a bowl game like Tom Allen. Why bother? Why bother with IU football? And it's cool for me to see the progression, the transformation of that perception of the program. And if you think about it, when Cignetti got the job from James Madison now 2 years ago, that was his mission. His mission wasn't necessarily to coach the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback or the first overall pick. His mission was not necessarily to make a bowl game, win a bowl game, or even win the national championship. It was to change the perception of Indiana football, a perception that has been ingrained in this program forever. Indiana football will lose because it's Indiana football. Indiana's a basketball school. Who cares? You got to go back to the 40s, 1945, for their last outright Big Ten championship. An FBS program with more losses than any other team in the nation going into Cignetti's tenure. So what does he do? He, of course, changes the perception. He did that last year by taking this team to the college football playoff, and then he solidified that changed perception last night with a 27-21 win against Miami in the national title game. So cool for the fans, for the community, for the alumni base. Of course, for the players and the coaches and the administrators, it is so cool for the state. Wow. Incredible. Cool for the casual fan. Cool for the diehard fan. Cool for the non-sports fan. Because everyone, you don't have to be a sports fan to know how special this is. You didn't have to be listening on the radio last night or watching at a sports bar. You didn't have to be in Miami. You didn't have to be watching at home to know that this was improbable 2 years ago. Impossible 2 years ago. Think about this. It's not just that, oh, wow, Indiana won. It's that someone else won. The Hoosiers are the sport's first new champion since 1996. It is a sport of reruns, notoriously. LSU's there every year. Alabama's there every year. Clemson, Miami, these blue blood programs are there every single year, but not Indiana, and that's what makes it so special, that and so many other things. I want to go backwards before we go forwards and talk about this game and what it all meant. I want to go back a few years. Of course, we can go back to the inception of the program. We can go back to when the program literally took a 2-year pause because there was not enough interest from players to play on the team. Let's go back a handful of years. When Michael Penix entered the transfer portal in December of 2021, that felt like the beginning of the end once again for Hoosier football. Penix had multiple season-ending injuries with his time here at IU. His body was taxed, and he laid it out on the line. We can understand that, we can sympathize with that, and we can appreciate that, and even celebrate it. He went 12-5 as the IU starter. He was the beacon of hope, and then he transferred. He delivered the Hoosiers only two winning seasons over a 17-year stretch, and then he went away, and then he went to Washington, and then Washington went to the national title game. And then he was a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and IU fans were thinking, I guess we just can't have nice things. Because even when we get the guy, and Penix was the guy, we can't protect him, we can't build a team around him, because we're IU. But Cignetti changed all of that. He did. And now everyone knows that it can be done here. Because it was. So I want to keep the Michael Penix pain in the back of your head as we recap this game. Again, a 27-21 win for Indiana football last night in Miami against the Hurricanes. How did they do it? They did it by stopping the run. They did it by making big plays on defense and on special teams when they had to. Think about this. And we'll talk about Fernando Mendoza here, but think about this. This is only the second game all year that Mendoza did not throw a touchdown pass in. And yet, it may have been his best game. Not statistically, but in the clutch, 27-21, IU defeats Miami. This doesn't happen without Fernando Mendoza. But it also doesn't happen without the defense. Let's talk about the defense. The secondary was incredible. Incredible. If you're watching the game, especially in the first quarter, I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, wow, Carson Beck has all day to throw. And Carson Beck, say what you want about him. I know that a lot of people like to hate on him, and that's fine. I get it. He's been in college forever. He plays for the big bad Georgia team or the big bad Miami team. I get it. So you want to hate on him, fine. He's an easy guy to root against. Nothing personal. But say what you want about him, he can make throws when he's given time, and he did. So I was worried about it. I was worried about no pass rush early. But the secondary held up against big-time players like Malachi Toney. D'Angelo Pons had three pass breakups in this game alone. He was fantastic. How many tackles did Pons have as well? I mean, he was great. Have to try to find that number for you. But Indiana, first and foremost, five solo tackles, by the way, for Pons. And yes, three PBUs led the team. Indiana was led by its secondary. Let's make no mistake about that. Carson Beck only sacked one time. So the pass rush was not great, but of course, you got pressure on the punter when you needed it. And the defensive MVP, Mikel Kamara. And what a ride he has had. In and out of the lineup, and we were expecting him to be a big part of this defense. Well, he was at times. Injuries for him, injuries around him. He had four tackles. But, of course, Kamara is known in this game as the defensive MVP, more like special teams MVP, for blocking the punt that led to a touchdown. And in a 27-21 win, yeah, it sounds like coach speak. A game like this, it often comes down to special teams. Think about special teams here. Miami misses the field goal in the first half. That was big. Would have put them on the board. Instead, they're down 10-0 at halftime with IU receiving to start the third quarter. And then the block punt changes the game in so many different ways. And for Indiana, that's why they won. 27-21. If I had to pick two different reasons, it would be the secondary and special teams. They won in both phases there. Of course, the defense was great, especially in the first half. But in the second half, it was a different story. More on this in a moment, but first, whether it's your car, home, or more, American Family Insurance has policies tailored to meet your needs to help ensure peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Call Sandra with Sandra Payline Agency, 812-426-3305. Again, that's 812-426-3305. Indiana football defeating Miami 27-21 in the national championship. We're talking about it here on WREF. So, in this game, yes, IU was the better team. In this game, yes, IU got the win, but they did not do it conventionally. Again, their quarterback only throwing Fernando Mendoza for how many yards again? It was 186. He got outthrown by Beck in that regard. 16 of 27. Nothing too special there. Didn't throw a touchdown pass. Now, of course, Mendoza made plays. Again, we're going to talk about that later, but they did it by establishing the run. Kalen Black finished with a team-high 79 yards, 17 carries. Roman Hemby did a good job as well, though he had a tougher time breaking free at times. He nets 60 yards on 19 carries, kind of a bell count guy. But, of course, on the ground, the two big names for IU, Fernando Mendoza and Riley Nowakowski. Again, we're going to get to that in a second. I want to talk more about this defense. Okay, especially in the second half. It was, well, tumultuous for IU. The Hoosier defense allowed 69 yards in the first half. 69 yards of total offense for Miami. In the second half, 278. So again, like I said off the top, IU never trailed in this game, but it was close, and you got to give Miami credit. Like Cignetti said after the game, give Miami credit. They played hard. They never gave up. Malachi Toney was good when he had to be, made some big plays. Miami, in that running back, is something else. They flashed to his mother a couple of times on the broadcast, if you were watching. Mark Fletcher. 112 yards, 17 carries, had a couple of touchdowns, including that 57-yarder, to Chris in the second half and make it a three-point game. And that's when it got close. And that's when IU fans got antsy. You got nervous. And I get it. I was nervous, too. Because Miami hung in there despite not getting any offense in the first half. And despite allowing a couple of glacial and eternal drives for IU, and despite struggling on special teams, Miami hung in there. And you know what? I take it back. What I said on this program, I said that when Miami punched their ticket against Ole Miss, it was only a question of who would they lose to. Would it be Oregon or IU? I thought for sure the national championship game was IU versus Oregon. No, Miami is a legit team, and they deserved to be there. I understand it was at Hard Rock Stadium, but you know what? No, that is a good football team. Now, they made some bad mistakes, and that's the knock on Miami. Going into this game, we were talking about special teams. No, not special teams, about discipline. And would they make big penalties in big moments? And they did. And that obviously helped IU. IU had some third downs. I think there was at one point three penalties on third downs for Miami that led IU to either a first down or much better field position to then get the first down later on. It's incredible. You want to look at penalties, and I'll give you the penalty total. IU, by the way, made some mistakes as well. That false start on the last drive that forced them to take a field goal instead of punching it in the red zone to end the game. I thought that that actually might have been the end of the game. I thought Miami was going to go down the field. I was worried about that because that's the type of mistake that could cost you. But Indiana made just enough plays so that it wouldn't. In the penalty department, yes, Indiana did a much better job than Miami. Five penalties for 38 yards for the Hoosiers, seven penalties, 60 yards for the Hurricanes. But again, those were crucial penalties in crucial moments, crucial yards. They felt like every time Miami made a mistake, it was in a big moment. And think about this as far as penalties go. Miami marching down the field eventually threw the interception to seal the game for IU on the last drive, down by six. But they were marching down the field. You know how that drive began? Do you remember how it began? On a delay of game. To take Miami back from the 20 to the 25. They don't have a single timeout. What, a 1:45 left in the game? Unacceptable. And that's on Mario Cristobal. But that's also not our problem at IU. So we're talking about this game, 27-21. Indiana takes down Miami in the national championship game. They are national champs for the first time ever. We're talking about this game, and we've done it for, what, 15, 16 minutes at this point. We have not yet touched up on the MVP, the Heisman Trophy winner, the future number one overall pick in the NFL draft, the guy who will have a statue built for him in Bloomington on campus. And we know what pose they're going to etch into stone for Fernando Mendoza. It's going to be him diving into the end zone for what proved to be the game-winning touchdown. We're going to talk about that on the other side right here on WREF. And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. It is your local sports fix, and we're taking you until 6. What a game. Indiana 27, Miami 21. What else would we be talking about right now after the Hoosiers win their first ever national championship in football? Didn't think it could be done. Certainly didn't think it would be done. Cignetti got there and changed the feel of the program, and changed what people believed to be possible for the program. Be honest, when Cignetti got the job from James Madison, was anyone thinking, ooh, fingers crossed, I hope we can be national champions? No. We were thinking, ooh, fingers crossed, I hope we can be competitive. I hope we can win a bowl game every year. Think about it. The benchmark for success for this program was 6 wins. It wasn't 16. And that's what Cignetti gave you in season number 2. And arguably the greatest season in the history of the sport. Like I said before the break, the first new champion that a top-heavy sport in college football has seen since 1996 when UF did it. Since then, it's been the power programs. It's been Florida again. It's been Miami time and time again. Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, Florida State. You see what I'm saying? Incredible. Just incredible. So many different ways we can break this game down. And we've started already. Talked about the secondary. D'Angelo Pons was fantastic. Though we did not give any credit to the guy that ended up sealing the game for IU. The interception at the end, Carson Beck throwing downfield, shouldn't have done that because Jamari Sharp was there for the game-sealing interception with less than a minute to go. Now, Jamari Sharp, just for those who like the coincidental nature of sports, the pixie dust effect, you can't make this up. Jamari Sharp, Miami native. Not offered a scholarship by Miami, but a Miami native. His nephew, or his uncle, Glenn Sharp, was called for a big pass interference call in 2002 in the national championship game against Ohio State. So, Sharp is playing in the secondary for IU, trying to seal this game. IU defending the sidelines. Ball comes his way, and he has to make a play to win the season. And he does, unlike his uncle back in the day against Ohio State. I think we remember that play. Again, 2002, the national championship. So, incredible. For him to do it against his hometown school, the school that did not offer him, did not look at him, in their home stadium, in his hometown, incredible. Really, really special. So, that's awesome. Really happy for Jamari Sharp that he can beat his uncle's team, Glenn Sharp. The Miami Hurricanes is the team that he played for, but the Miami Hurricanes, the team that would not look at Jamari Sharp. You know who did? Kurt Cignetti. Talent evaluation. Seeing the diamond in the rough. Not the only Miami natives that were not taken by Miami, though. Alberto Mendoza, and of course, Fernando Mendoza. By the way, Alberto Mendoza, for those who don't know, entered the transfer portal this morning, and that's a story for a different day. IU fans, don't worry about that because, A, you're national champions. Nothing else matters, and I mean nothing matters right now besides this. I don't care if you are behind on your mortgage. I don't care if you got a doctor's appointment that you're a little bit concerned about. Nothing matters besides a national championship right now, so enjoy it. Don't worry about Alberto Mendoza in the transfer portal. We could talk about that next week. Of course, Fernando Mendoza also grew up a mile from Miami's campus. His father, high school teammate of Miami coach Mario Cristobal at Christopher Columbus High School. By the way, Christopher Columbus High School in Miami, they're not in school today. Why? Because regardless of what happened last night in the game, they were celebrating one of their alums winning a national championship. There were two alums on the IU roster, Alberto and Fernando Mendoza, five alums on the Miami roster, and I don't think that includes Mario Cristobal, the head coach. Mendoza's mother played tennis at Miami. Mendoza ended up winning a state title at Columbus High in 2019, and after all that, the Hurricanes would not look at him, did not offer Fernando Mendoza a scholarship. So what did he do? He made them pay. He went and did his own thing at Cal. Cignetti came calling. No one thought that the road would lead here to Indiana for Mendoza. And certainly no one thought that Indiana's road would lead back to Miami for the national championship. Fernando Mendoza joins a prestigious club, quarterbacks to win the Heisman and the national championship in the same season. You're looking at Matt Leinart, 2004, USC. Cam Newton, 2010, Auburn. Jameis Winston, 2013, Florida State. And as we all remember, Joe Burrow, 2019, LSU. And now it's Fernando Mendoza, and now it's Indiana. By the way, IU, the third best point differential in a given season in the AP poll era, that is because of Fernando Mendoza. All this to say, Mendoza deserves every ounce of credit that he's going to get, and boy, will he. He's going to get credit at the NFL Draft Combine. He's going to get credit at the NFL Draft. He's going to get credit on Franklin Street today, tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, in Bloomington forever. And like I said before the break, there will be a statue made of this man, and we know which pose it will be. It will be of him diving into the end zone. Early fourth quarter, Indiana up 17-14 against Miami. And they're matriculating down the field. Well, a couple of big calls by Kurt Cignetti on fourth down. And by the way, let me just say for the record, I would have kicked on both occasions. But that's why I'm not a national championship winning head coach. You've got fourth down and five at the Miami 37-yard line. So that's what, a 52-yard field goal, something like that? I would have kicked it. That doesn't make it the right decision. I'm just telling you, I would have kicked it. And I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, big mistake. Mendoza is told by Cignetti, go make a play, and he did. Pass to Charlie Becker to the Miami 18 for a 19-yard gain on fourth down and five. To get a first down, you move the sticks. Big play. But now you're thinking, okay, well, Indiana, they're going to go into the end zone. Well, not so much. Mendoza throws an incomplete pass for E.J. Williams on third down and four in the red zone at the Miami 12-yard line. Now it's fourth down and four. You're up by three, fourth quarter. You have an opportunity to make it a six-point game. You already got a first down on fourth down once on this drive. Why push your luck? I'm kicking it if I'm Kurt Cignetti. But again, that is why I'm not a national championship-winning head coach. Not only does Cignetti choose to go for it, but he chooses to put the ball in his best player's hands. Not only his best player, the sport's best player. Fernando Mendoza gets the call on a QB draw on 4th-and-4 at the 12-yard line. He takes it to the house, and he does it by putting his body on the line, diving into the end zone. Not only diving into the end zone, he was pinballing off of defenders, and Mendoza did the unthinkable. Mendoza put his head down, and with his will, churned his legs into the end zone to get IU up by 10. In what is the most spectacular play in the history of IU football, and you can make the argument the most spectacular play in the history of IU athletics. I know that's going to be a hot take, especially for the IU basketball fans. Thinking about the shot, 1987, Keith Smart. But explain to me why this play was any less improbable, any less impressive than Keith Smart, or any less prudent. No. I'm not saying that Keith Smart was leapfrogged last night, but I am saying he has company. And Fernando Mendoza made that play. You know, it's funny because we were talking about it all season long. Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy. He deserved it. It was, by all accounts, a pretty weak Heisman class. I don't think anyone thought, oh, well, Mendoza, no question, because he's the best player. And he was, but there was not much competition around him. Diego Pavia, really? The running back Love from Notre Dame? Okay. Didn't even make the college football playoff. Was it really going to be him? There was not a big debate this year. And part of that is because Mendoza was really good. Part of that was because there was not a clear-cut guy outside of Mendoza. But one thing I always said about Mendoza is that he never really had a Heisman moment. One play that really sticks out, and you point at the screen and you think, that's the guy. And he was consistent all year long. And maybe that's what makes a Heisman Trophy winner not just one spectacular play, but that was his Heisman moment, even though he'd already won the Heisman Trophy. And it's not only his moment, it's our moment. It's the state's moment, the campus's moment, the school's moment. Just like Keith Smart in 1987, Fernando Mendoza diving into the end zone, taking punishment in midair, holding on to the football and getting Indiana up by 10 for what proved to be the game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter of the national championship game in his hometown at Hard Rock Stadium. Yeah, that's up there. Again, I would have kicked on both occasions, but Cignetti made the decision to put the ball in his best player's hands. And if you remember, the kicking unit was out there, and then he pulled them, and he gave Mendoza a shot. That is risky. And it wasn't, by the way, it was not just the touchdown that Mendoza scored with his legs. Mendoza made some big plays in the fourth quarter outside of that. Think about 3rd-and-7 at the IU 48-yard line. It's 24-21 with about 6 minutes left in the game, maybe 5.5. I beg your pardon. I've got the score right here in the time. 3 minutes left in the game. 3rd-and-7. At the IU 48-yard line, basically midfield, you're up by 3. If you don't score there, if you don't move the sticks there, you punt, hopefully pin Miami back. You give them the ball with 2.5 minutes left. They've got the 2-minute timeout and all 3 timeouts at that point. But what happens on 3rd-and-7 near midfield? Mendoza finds Charlie Becker for another 19-yard gain and a first down. Now, on this drive, this was the drive with the false start in the red zone that forced IU to kick and take a 6-point lead instead of putting the game away and gave Miami the ball with a minute 45 left in the game and an opportunity to win it to try and march down the field. And we talked about that earlier with the interception by Jamari Sharp, but Mendoza to Charlie Becker. Twice in the fourth quarter for 19 yards. Once on a crucial fourth down, once on a crucial third down. Think about the complexion of the game and what would have happened, what would have changed if Mendoza did not make a perfect fade throw on the sideline to Becker in that moment on third down and 7. Would we be talking about this team in the way we're talking about them right now? Would they be national champions? I don't think so. Play after play, moment after moment, Fernando Mendoza was there. And that's why he's the Heisman Trophy winner, and that's why he is a legend in IU lore, and that's why he needs a statue of him horizontal over the end zone, reaching the ball out over the goal line, essentially to win the national championship for Indiana. Let's talk about some stats here. Like I said, one of only two games all year that Mendoza did not throw a touchdown pass in. The other one, I think, was Kennesaw State. And we know why he wasn't throwing touchdown passes in that game. It could have been Old Dominion. It's because, I think it was Old Dominion, the first game of the year, because he didn't need to. He wasn't asked to make plays because IU thumped Old Dominion and Kennesaw State and pretty much everyone else in their out-of-conference schedule. 16 of 27, 186 yards, not one interception, took 3 sacks. And by the way, that's the thing. We talked about this on this program. Mendoza was going to be pressured, and he was. A lot more than Carson Beck was. And even when he wasn't sacked, which he was, again, 3 times, he took shots. That bloody lip trickling down to his chin strap early in the first quarter. You saw him in the post-game interview. I don't know if you were watching, but he had bruises, gashes on his arm from plays that we don't even remember in the game. He was getting throttled during and after every single play. Miami was pressuring him, but he stood up and he made those plays. And he had the touchdown to win it. Tuck and run 7 times, 15 yards, but again, none bigger than the 12-yard scamper in the fourth quarter on 4th down and 4 from the 12-yard line. Unbelievable. But of course, if you're talking about the clutch factor, got to talk about some receivers. Charlie Becker didn't have a touchdown. Again, no receiving touchdowns to give out for Mendoza, but Charlie Becker, 4 catches, 65 yards, made 2 massive 19-yard grabs. And we've talked about Becker in this way. I want to do it again. Charlie Becker is the encapsulation of Indiana football. What does that mean? What does that look like? What am I really trying to say? I'm going to break it down on the other side here on WREF. But again, Indiana football taking down Miami 27-21 in the national championship game, the Hoosiers winning their first national title in program history. More on that in a moment right here on WREF, back in a jiff on 97.7 FM. Back here on the Rough Skull, driven by D. Patrick Nissan, I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theRough.com and the WREF mobile app. It is your local sports fix, and we're taking you until 6. Hey, head on down to Spanky's, where the odds are always in your flavor. Their crispy cracker crust pizza, it's a guaranteed win every single time. Spanky's is on the west side in Schnucks Plaza and downtown on Jefferson Avenue. Visit Spanky's. Cash in on the best crispy cracker crust pizza in town today. We also have a live show from Spanky's, the Stan Gerard Radio Show. USI men's basketball head coach Stan Gerard is going to be there at 7 o'clock talking about Screaming Eagle men's basketball and their first OVC win of the year, snapping an 8-game slot against Tennessee Tech last Thursday, also breaking down the loss against Tennessee State. If you can't make it to Spanky's tonight, you can listen on WREF on Wednesday, and we'll have that show for you on 97.7 FM. Listen to theRef.com and the WREF mobile app at 6 p.m. We're talking about IU football, though, and a 27-21 win in the national championship game. A game that we did not have Indiana sniffing a couple of years ago. When Cignetti took over, the standard for success was not to win a national championship. No, it was to compete, to be respected in the Big Ten, and boy, are they now. So how do they get it done? We talked about the defense. We talked about Mendoza a little bit. I'm sure he'll come up again. But it was the key plays that Mendoza made, and Charlie Becker was a big part of that. 65 yards, 4 catches, 19-yard snags twice in the fourth quarter, once on fourth down and five at midfield when they had to move the sticks or else punt and give Miami an opportunity to take the lead, and then once on third down and seven when they had to move the sticks or else kick and settle for a six-point lead. But Indiana did the job, and Becker is kind of the encapsulation of IU football. Started the season as a special teamer and worked his way into the lineup. A guy that, as a sophomore, no one really projected as, oh, he's going to be a big part of a national championship-winning team. But that all changed, I guess you could say, in October, when he had a couple of catches against UCLA. It really changed against Penn State. He had seven catches for 118 yards. And if you remember that game, of course, we remember that game for the Omar Cooper catch. But if you really think back to that game, the headline was going into it, uh-oh, no Elijah Surratt. How is IU going to compete? How are they going to move the sticks? It was, yes, Omar Cooper making the catch in the back of the end zone to win it against Penn State on the road. But it was, moreover, Charlie Becker and his six catches for 118 yards. And after that, Becker was one of the best players in college football. If you started watching college football at the end of October into the beginning of November and knew nothing about the sport, before then you would think that Charlie Becker is a first-round NFL draft pick. You would think that Charlie Becker is one of the best wideouts in the NCAA, soon to be NFL. You would think that he's Jeremiah Smith, but no. I'm just going to look at the game log for you. Old Dominion, Charlie Becker, one catch, 4 yards. Kennesaw State, he had two catches. Indiana State, he had one catch. So he's got 4 catches in garbage time in the non-conference schedule. But this is where it gets good. In the first 4 Big Ten games, Becker did not record a single catch. Why? Because he's a special teamer. And then he was given a chance end of October into November, when Surratt got hurt and when the offense needed reinforcements, and he was there. And then he never went away. You can look at the Penn State game. You can look at the Wisconsin game when he had more than 100 yards and a touchdown, his second touchdown of the year. You can look at the Ohio State game, 6 catches for 126 yards, a career high, by the way. And then when we got, and that was, of course, the Big Ten championship. Then we got to the college football playoff, and Becker, he didn't go anywhere. Now, he wasn't getting the volume that we saw against Penn State or Wisconsin or Ohio State, but what was he doing? Making big plays when he had to. He had a fascinating stat line against Alabama and then Oregon. A couple of catches, I should say 4 catches for 99 yards, 2 touchdowns in the first 2 college football playoff games. Again, not there all the time, but there when Mendoza needed him in big moments. And that's all you can really ask of any wide receiver, not to mention a sophomore who was in punt coverage the first month and a half of the season. 4 catches, 65 yards. Again, the massive 4th down and 5 towards the start of the fourth quarter. The massive 3rd down and 7 towards the end of the fourth quarter. And Mendoza gets offensive MVP, largely because of Charlie Becker. Omar Cooper was the top receiver in the game. Again, a 27-21 win for Indiana against Miami in the national title. 71 yards, 5 catches. Surratt was there as well, made some big plays, 3 catches for 28 yards. But if we're talking about weapons around Fernando Mendoza, you got to look at Riley Nowakowski, the tight end. Only had a couple of catches, 17 yards. But Nowakowski did a little bit of everything. Had the first touchdown in the game, just his second carry of the year, and yes, his second rushing touchdown. Goal line, go with a heavy hitter. You could have given it to Kalen Black. You could have given it to Roman Hemby, and I'm sure it would have worked out. But goal line, IU punches it in with Nowakowski. And remember what I was saying about Miami in their pass rush. IU needed reinforcements in the backfield. They needed Nowakowski as an extra tackle, because Lord knows that Kalen Black had no chance in blocking those big-time edge rushers for Miami. And we saw that. He got blown up on one play. I don't know if you know which play I'm talking about. It was ridiculous. But Akeem Mesidor, elite pass rusher for Miami. And he made some big plays. We knew that going in. and Nowakowski was there to make some big blocks. Reuben Bain, Defensive Player of the Year in the ACC, he was there to make some big plays, had 2.5 tackles for loss, 8 total tackles. It was great. Look, they got theirs. I'm not trying to make it seem like IU did a great job in muting those two guys and muting the Miami pass rush. No, that's the number one pass rush in the nation. Most sacks than anyone else in FBS. More sacks than anyone else in FBS. And Nowakowski was a big part in giving Mendoza some time. Didn't have a lot. Not all the time, but Nowakowski was massive in this game. And that's why Indiana won the national championship. 27-21 against Miami last night, as heard on WREF. Now, we've talked about this game from pretty much every single angle. Offense, defense, special teams, narrative with Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner, growing up a mile from Miami's campus and was not offered a scholarship by Miami. We talked about Jamari Sharp, the game-sealing interception, Miami native, not offered a scholarship by Miami. But Kurt Cignetti, he is great in talent evaluation, and he can find guys. He can identify guys that will win football games, regardless of level. And Mikel Kamara is a big example of that. Ends up winning defensive MVP in this game. He played at every level of college football, at least in Division I. FCS with James Madison, into Group of Five with James Madison when they went FBS, and then Power Four Big Ten when he followed Cignetti from JMU to IU. And IU has made history largely because of the JMU guys, D'Angelo Pons, another one of those guys. What kind of history? Since between 1899 and 2024, when Cignetti took over, Indiana, I should say that's 1 year into the Cignetti era, Indiana had 3 bowl wins ever in program history. This year alone, 3 bowl wins. The college football playoff run, Alabama, the Rose Bowl, Oregon, the Peach Bowl, and then yesterday, Miami in the national championship. Think about what Kurt Cignetti has done. All coaches in IU football history have a winning percentage of 41%. All-time losers, IU. All those coaches in IU history have 3 bowl wins. Cignetti's got 3 in 2 years. He's won 93% of his games. And, of course, the national championship. Again, Fernando Mendoza, he was big time. First game without a passing touchdown since the season opener. But don't be mistaken, this was a gutsy, special performance by Mendoza and by the entire team. Of course, we've talked about this team, this game, this program, pretty much the entire show. We're not done talking about this team, this program, this coach, this quarterback. Because this team, this program is not done. The transfer portal class, I hear, is spectacular. And again, I'm not putting too much emphasis or stock into what they're getting into the portal because I don't want to disrespect what IU has already built and was in the process of doing. To look at that TCU quarterback they got in the portal is to minimize the prudence of what IU was doing this year. But now that that's done, we have a chance to celebrate it, to breathe, exhale, to think about it, reflect on it, analyze it, and of course move forward. But expect IU to be contenders every single year because there's no reason not to. They have the coach. They have the pedigree. They've proven that you can win here. And now, Cignetti's going to go stack more. That's what it's all about. Again, we're here on WREF, the Refs Call, and driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Your local State Farm agent is Maurice Brunson. He assists Evansville, Newburgh, and the surrounding area with license in Indiana and in Kentucky. Now, Maurice wants to help you manage the risks of everyday life and recover from the unexpected. Pick up the phone and give Maurice Brunson a call, 812-422-8144. Again, that's 812-422-8144 for a free home, auto, renter, or life insurance quote. Plus, you can find Maurice at his office on the north side on West Mill Road. We'll take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue to break down local and regional sports, wrap up shop when we return on 97.7 FM The Ref. Always the right call. 27-21, Indiana takes down Miami. They are national champions for the first time in program history. Remember, I'm saying first time. More to come for Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers. Back in a moment on WREF.